My Bridge Radio, that is Steal My Show by Toby Mack. It is so good to have you along with Stan and me on this Wednesday morning. One of the neat things about every focus that we do monthly here at My Bridge Radio is during the course of that month, we get to hear from Marilee Bradley about her perspective on that focus, as well as her perspective as a mom on that focus. Today is that chance for this month as we are focusing on foster care. Marilee Bradley is joining us today. Marilee, thanks for joining the conversation again with us.
I thought every month was about foster care.
Exactly. You know, I was thinking that exactly, Marilee.
I don't know if we've gone through a month where we haven't touched on that in our talks prayer and God's vision for the church. Yeah. So, yes, here we are.
Because to know Marilee at all, even a little bit, just for a second, is to know that she is quite passionate about foster care. But take us all the way back, like all the way back to the beginning. What was that spark, that first thought of possibly becoming involved with foster care?
Oh, it is hard to know where that even started. I feel like in some ways that started for me before I knew that there was a term for foster care. You know, just as a little child imagining what I wanted to do with my life, and it involved caring for kids that needed somebody. Mm-hmm. And I think there was part of that that was just God's plan for me and something that God put in my heart from day one. But I also know we started specifically pursuing foster care when we had adopted Josh. Josh was about 2 years old, and we knew that the adoption process was really lengthy. So we thought we will go ahead and start working on another adoption, but while we do that, let's go ahead and get our foster license, and that way we can be caring for kids in our home while we wait. So we thought those will be our temporary kids, and then we'll do that while we wait on this probably 2-year process to adopt again. And the first day our license came in the mail, we got a phone call that a little boy needed a home, and we said yes, and then a year and a half later, we adopted him. So it was not our plan that that was how things were going to go, but God used that and used the whole process to really get us passionate about these kids that to now look like our kids.
In the mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps.
Absolutely.
My Bridge Radio, the Newsboys live with abandon. Thanks so much for tuning in and joining Stan and me on this 25th of September. Today we're visiting with Marilee Bradley. Now, she and her husband are licensed foster parents and have cared for a number of children over the years. Currently, she's the mother of 4 young ones.
Marilee, you talked earlier this morning about the beginning of God getting your heart, even going back as a child in some respects, but more practically as you got married and we're looking at developing your family.
Mm-hmm.
So how has that matured? How has that heart for foster care matured? What conviction has God placed in your heart that just really grabs you?
Yes. I would say the biggest change from the initial ideas of what foster care is to where I'm at right now, as a child, I thought I want to be taking care of kids who need me. What I didn't realize was that those kids have families. They have dysfunctional, hurting families. And that my heart would expand to not just love these kids, but to love their parents, too, and love their grandparents, and love their siblings, and want to maintain connections. And I think that's not something we typically picture as what foster care looks like. We just think of a child that needs help, but it's a whole family system that needs help, that needs somebody to come in and love them without judgment and to be able to be an advocate for them, for the whole family. So I was having a meeting with some foster moms the other day. We get together and just support each other and talk through things every other month or so. And there was a question that came up, and somebody said, well, Marilee's a big birth parent advocate. Ask her. And I thought, I would never have seen that happening. I would never have thought someone would say about me, she's the birth parent advocate, because when you start the process, that's not where your heart is. But over the years of coming to know my kids and love them and realize that those birth parents continue to matter long after even an adoption has taken place, that we still talk about them nearly daily, that I love them and that I'm passionate about them too.
Just to kind of clarify for the MyBridge Radio family, when you talk about birth parent advocate, you're talking about an orientation within working and serving in foster care that values the birth parent of the child.
Yes. It's very easy as a foster parent to feel like your job is to love this child, and that as part of loving this child, you can almost have a righteous anger about what happened to them that brought them into foster care, and that anger can be very easily directed at their family. And it takes a new pair of eyes to look and see that there's usually generations of dysfunction, that we are raising victims of victims, you know, that there's a lot of problems that go back in that family, and that they need someone to compassionately look at them and speak to them and deal with them rather than having those judgment feelings towards them.
We'll continue our conversation with Marilee in just about 20 minutes, so please stay with us. My Bridge Radio, that's Carrie Roberts, Middle of It All. Thanks so much for tuning in and joining Stan and me this morning. Our guest today is Marilee Bradley from Lincoln. She and her husband are foster parents.
So Marilee, a few moments ago, we begin to talk about this whole concept of ministry, not only to the foster child, but also to their family. Now, I think that's cool on the one hand. On the other side, I think if I'm sitting there listening and I have not even stepped into the foster care arena yet, that can sound overwhelming to me. Like, are you saying that I'm responsible in some way to reach out and do something with a foster parent? Now, my understanding is, you know, that's just an attitude that you want to take.
Right.
And then secondly, it's just a potential opportunity God might open up. Your responsibility as a foster parent is to that child with an openness to their parents,
absolutely,
to their birth parents, and an openness to God and how God might want to use that relationship.
Yes, and I think what happens is that even if you go in thinking, I want to help this child, at some point you become aware that helping that child means loving that family. And it's not that you're going and picking mom up from work and taking her back home or, you know, that you're doing a lot of things. It really is about an attitude. And it's about wanting this child to love themselves, which means valuing where they came from. I think that's Jesus' work. It's not something that we're really just capable of doing on our own because our own feelings do get in the way.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that I've learned is that, what is it, like 65% or more of the children that are removed from homes are moved because of neglect, not mm-hmm. because of abuse or abandonment.
Right.
And the implications of that is you've got, like you were saying, Marilee, a hurting family that's under-resourced, that comes from an under-resourced situation
mm-hmm.
that are in some ways sometimes just trying to make life work, and it's just not working very well, and their kids are caught up in the mix, so they're removed for the kids' sake. But it isn't like there are these parents that don't care about their kids at all.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. And a lot of that is poverty. And if they can get the right kind of help and resources, and I think if they can get a foster parent that is passionate about them figuring this stuff out, I think that can be a huge help and make a generational difference to this family.
I think that perspective would be helpful to people considering foster care to go, no, this isn't about me just taking this broken child into my home
right.
for who knows how long and maybe forever, and I don't know if I even want forever necessarily.
Right.
But when you start saying, no, this is a family that is broken and hurting and can love and bring stability so that that child doesn't continue to get caught up in the wake of the brokenness of the parents.
Right.
And then to Lord willing, God willing, and the system helping, that parent begin to get things addressed to be able to entrust that child back into that home. That's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. That's a picture of redemption.
MyBridge Radio, those are the Sidewalk Prophets. Live like that. Thanks so much for spending some time with Stan and me on this Wednesday morning. Marilee Bradley is our guest for the morning conversation today. She lives in Lincoln with her husband and four young children and has years of experience as a foster mom.
So, Marilee, as passionate as you are about foster care, I'm confident that there's probably plenty of times you interact with friends, church members. You have to kind of look at family sometimes and go, man, your family would be awesome to have a foster child there. But yet, for whatever reason, you're not opening your heart and your home to a foster child. So as you think about that, you think about the number of homes maybe that you've even seen that really could be perfect, could be ideal to care for a foster child for some window of time, but they don't do it. What do you think are some of the reasons why families that could be perfect for foster care don't step into it?
Well, it's terrifying. And if you are a family that, you know, that I'm looking on the outside and saying, wow, you would be a perfect family to deal with foster kids, that probably means you've worked really hard to get to where you're at. You know, to have a family that has stability and that's running smoothly and, you know, that you're not looking just totally frazzled all the time. And you know that if you brought a new child into this situation, that would create upheaval in your family. And I think a lot of us just prioritize what we've created, that the stability we've created, or how is this going to affect this aspect of our life or make us uncomfortable in this way. And we just don't want to do it. It's just easier not to think about it. And I think, too, because of appropriate confidentiality and privacy concerns with foster kids, we don't see them. We don't know who the foster kids are. And so we don't know that they exist. So it's really easy to not acknowledge that if we just don't see it. But I think, you know, I think about the phone calls that we've gotten at our house about kids that need a home, and I just imagine so many of those families and think, you know what, if somebody accidentally called your number by mistake, you would say yes. If somebody called you and said, you know, we've got this 15-month-old little boy who needs a home tonight, you would want to say yes to that because you know Jesus. But because you don't have a license, then you don't know that those kinds of needs exist. And I think it's really easy to have kind of a stereotypical view of foster children as really scary, really damaged, really broken, really angry. And there are those kids, but there are a lot of other kids that would not fit that picture of what foster kids are. And I think it's also easy to have a stereotype of what a foster home looks like, and I hate that. That makes me so sad, and I feel like I'm very actively trying to change what it means to be a foster parent by helping recruit really quality families to change that stereotype. But I think if in your mind, when you think of a foster parent, you think of a negative thing, you think of somebody that's really frazzled or that's doing it for the money or, you know, the kids are just out of control, then obviously you're not going to want to do that.
Stay tuned. We will be continuing our conversation with Merrily in just about 20 minutes. MyBridge Radio, that is Aaron Schust. My hope is in you. Thanks so much for spending some time with Stan and me today. Our guest this morning is Merrily Bradley from Lincoln. She and her husband are foster parents, and she is joining us to encourage those who are listening who might be considering foster parenting themselves.
So, Merrily, let's say I'm listening this morning and I'm going, okay, here it is again, and I've been feeling some promptings potentially that way. This has been stirring in my heart maybe even for a number of years. I haven't stepped into it yet. Mm-hmm. How do I know when I'm ready? Like, you know, am I ready for this kind of a thing? How do I know when I'm ready?
Mm-hmm. I remember getting wisdom from people when we were asking some of those same questions about, you know, when are you ready to be a parent? And I think the right answer is never. You're never really ready. You're never really prepared for that. You'll never have enough money or enough patience to be ready to be a parent. And I think in some ways there's truth about that in foster parenting too. If you're just waiting for a magical moment of ready, that's probably not coming. It's going to be hard. There's going to be sacrifices involved. So you just have to be prepared for that. I think more than being ready, it's about being willing. Just showing up, going to an informational class, asking your questions, talking with an agency representative that can help you figure out if this is a good fit for your family. But I think being ready just means saying, yep, we've got a home that could do this. We've got a heart that wants to do this. We're looking at this realistically. We've done some homework, and we're ready to take the next step.
Mm. And Merrily, you referenced something earlier that aligns with this also about just taking the next step,
mm-hmm.
you know, go to a meeting or make a phone call, you know, anywhere along the way, you could say, not going to work, not going to fit, not going to go any further.
Right.
But what does it hurt just to take the next step?
Right. Yeah, we talked about that, Brian and I did. We were speaking at a pretty large church with a group full of people who were kind of interested in foster care. They were coming to hear some things, and Brian and I spoke for a long time. We were both chatters, so we spoke for a long time about why we chose to do foster care. And when we got in the car on the way home, Brian said, I think we did that all wrong. I think we just need to look at each couple individually and say, why aren't you doing this already? You know, and hear what their concerns are and help talk them through that. But it really is a why aren't you? And there's plenty of families that shouldn't be doing it. I don't want anyone to do it that shouldn't be doing it. But I think it really is a question of asking yourself, do we believe Jesus? Do we believe that we're supposed to be caring for the least of these? And what are we actually doing to make that happen?
MyBridge Radio, that is Shadows by David Crowder and Lecrae. Thanks so much for taking the time out of your day to join Stan and me this morning. Today we're visiting with Merrily Bradley. She and her husband are licensed foster parents and have cared for a number of children over the years. She's the mother of four young ones currently.
You know, Merrily, when I think about families who are currently deciding not to be involved with foster care, I wonder if sometimes the hindrance is a fear of loss of control of how things are going to play out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? People are showing
yeah.
up at my door, dropping kids off. So speak to us. You've gone through this process numerous times, and I know you and Brian are very, very good at staying in the driver's seat
right.
Throughout the process. So
right.
give some perspective to a family to let them know, no, you don't ever have to lose control in this process. process?
Yes. Well, I'd say it's twofold. First of all, we never really have control of anything to begin with. That our trust is ultimately in the one who has control. So a lot of times we just have to say, God, I don't know where you're going with this, but we're stepping out in obedience here, and we're letting go of some control. So I think that's kind of step one, that yes, you do lose some control. But step two, yes, healthy boundaries. Those are huge for us and our family and why we have not burned out at this point. But for us, that means when we got licensed, then we said, this is the kind of child we can take on, and we were very specific. And we feel like any foster family has kind of a niche that they might be really ready to do teenagers, or they might have a stay-at-home mom so they can do somebody that has some unique needs, or the itty-bitty babies, or maybe you're really good at toddlers, or you've got school-age kids and you could just stick one right in the middle. You know, however that works for you, you've got what you can do. And so foster parents need to say, this is what I can do, this is what I cannot do, and be okay with that. There's a lot of guilt in that, but I think you have to be okay saying, we don't want to burn out, we want to make a long-term commitment here, so these are our boundaries. And then on top of that, there has not been for us a moment where someone showed up at the door with a child. There's always a phone call, and then you move on to the next step. And the same thing with kids leaving your home. We've not had an experience, and I think it is very rare, that a child is immediately taken from your home. So, yeah, there's a huge amount of control you let go of because you don't determine anything for this kid. But you do determine what happens inside your home. And it's also possible if you're having a really bad fit with a child that is just not the right situation, you have a 10-day notice where you can say, in 10 days, this child needs to have another place to go. And you hate for that to ever happen, but it's also important for parents to know that it's not as though once they put this child in your home, you've lost the ability to say, this doesn't work anymore. And that's important for all of us.
Marilee, thanks again for just doing what you always do, which is to share very vulnerably and authentically. I'm confident that your firsthand experiences with those situations could really help calm a lot of people who have some potential fears as they're considering foster parenting.
MyBridge Radio, that's Shane and Shane this morning. That's How You Forgive. Thanks for taking some time and spending it with Stan and me this morning. Our guest today is Marilee Bradley from Lincoln. She and her husband are foster parents.
So, Marilee, if somebody is considering doing foster care, but they're thinking, man, I don't know if I want to be out there on an island by myself. Like, so what kind of supports are there for someone who's doing foster care so that they have the resources that they need to be able to do it well?
Right. We have been blessed by working with Christian Heritage, and the reason we do that is because we have kind of a layer of protection between us and everybody else where we can go and discuss what issues we're having with somebody who shares our belief system, and that's been really important for us. On top of that, Brian and I, when we started, had very little support. We didn't really know many people that were doing this. We did feel like we were kind of out on our own. So as we've kind of recruited more people to the process, then we've started providing support within our church. If you don't have the support, then you create it. Then you look for it and say, okay, where is this happening? Where can I find some people to help talk me through this? Because it is a difficult process. And you're also welcome to read what I write about foster parenting. I feel like that was part of the reason why I started writing, or I started my blog, because I felt like there just wasn't a realistic look at what foster parenting is like, and that was a great place for me to be able to say, come look here, and I'll explain what it's like in court. I'll explain what it's like for visits and how these dynamics have been hard for our family, but how we've been able to make it.
Marilee, I so appreciate what you're saying there, and you know, I actually hoped, I didn't know where you would go with that question, but one of my places in my mind went is for you to engage your family, for you to engage your friends, for you to engage your church and say, here's what God's leading me into, and here's my request and my ask of you guys for being with me in it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I would say from the other side, too, that one side of it is foster parents saying, here is my need, but the other side of it is, if you know someone who is a foster parent, you going to them and saying, what are your needs? And sometimes as a foster parent, it's really hard to just get your head above water enough to even know what you need. And to be asked is a really beautiful thing, to know that other people care about you and that your church is coming alongside of you, even if you're not in a position to be a foster parent right now, that you're saying, you know what, I want to do something to support the good work that you're doing here.
We will continue our conversation with Marilee in just a few moments. Right now, here are the Newsboys. It is you. MyBridge Radio, that's Toby Mack, me without you. It's good to have you along with Stan and me today. Our guest this morning is Marilee Bradley from Lincoln. She and her husband are foster parents, and she's joining us to encourage those who are listening who might be considering foster parenting themselves.
So, Marilee, I'm going to give you one last shot here before we close. Just speak to our hearts about foster care from your heart.
I don't know if there's any better way for me to do that than to talk about the placement of our daughter. Because Brian and I were really not in a place to take on another baby. We had two very little kids. And so we got a call about it. And I said, well, maybe we can do that. And they said, well, just be 6 weeks or so until mom gets back on her feet. And I said, I think we could probably do it, but I'll call Brian. So I called Brian and he said, you are out of your mind. And I'm always the yes and Brian's always the no. And so, you know, he said, there's just no way, that's too crazy. And we've got enough going on right now. So I said, well, that's fine. But you call back and tell them, because I already talked to them and I said I thought maybe we could, so you be the one to call. So I get off the phone with him, and then really 10 minutes later I get a call from Brian. He says, well, she'll be there in 15 minutes. And I said, what happened? You said no. And he said, well, I talked to the guy from Christian Heritage, and I told him, you know, this should be an easy kid to place, right? Like, we don't want to be the baby hogs. We don't want to just be taking all the healthy little kids here. You just need to call somebody else. And he said, Brian, you're the last people we're calling. I have no one that's willing to take on middle-of-the-night bottles and diaper changes and to put that focus on a kid that they're not going to be able to keep forever. I don't know what we're going to do with her if you say no. And Brian said, you know, what was I going to say to that? This is the least of these, and we're going to say yes to that. And I think for Brian, it's, you know, it's not always been as easy as it has been for me to say yes. And I know for a lot of families, there's kind of that tension or struggle about one that wants to say yes and one that wants to say no. But I think for Brian, this was just the right thing to do. And sometimes that's what it comes down to. And we have been hugely blessed by the addition of our daughter, who did not leave us after 6 weeks, but a year and a half later we were able to adopt. That she has been such a blessing and has been such daddy's girl from day one, and she will tell you that. She loved daddy first. And so I think it's easy to get caught up in thinking about the classwork and the paperwork and the loss of control and the difficulties in the process, but I think what we forget then is that these are humans, that these are children, that these are people that God desperately cares about, and that they need you, that they need love and they need stability, maybe for a short time, maybe for a long time, but you may have the skills to provide that.
Again, Marilee, it's always a privilege and a thrill to be able to visit with you each and every month to hear the things that God is putting on your heart. This month, of course, no exception to that. Thanks for joining us on The Conversation today.
Thank you so much.